If a squadron of flying saucers would fly during hours of the White House, or the Empire State's building, after having done so at Tiananmen and on the Red Place, the journalists would surely find thousands of explanations: test balloons, Nordic lights, disinformation, test of new special effects for the cinema, giants' holograms, or demonstration of the capacities of new flying terrestrial machines, able this time to appear or disappear if necessary, etc. The public opinion, taken from one interpretation to the other, would finally no more understand, and even the witnesses will be doubting. The worries of the authors of the documents were then not justified. At the beginning they would have done, as they say, some shy tries, here and there, sending some reports to scientists, who would have thrown them immediately to them to the trash bin, after having read they come from extraterrestrials. We read before that these armits would have thought to find a much more advanced civilization, which would have detected their presence on Earth quickly, and they would have been very surprised to be able to walk freely everywhere, without being worried. The unexpected variety of cultures and languages are facilitating the study mission on site. As indicated in their reports, as they were in a country and would have some language difficulties, or having some funny behavior, it would have been easy for them to be taken for foreigners. They would have begun to store information of our languages, our customs and socio-economical organization. Their storage are Titan memories of fantastic computers. Very rapidly, they would have been conscious of the deep disorganization and the risks for decades. It was quite easy for them, as they say, to enter the intimacy of our laboratories, with the help of small devices moved by MHD, as big as bees, which could stay on a cupboard or stick to the cellar of a meeting room, to record all what could be said. They would have been quickly informed about the plans coming from our politics and military centers. All that would have made a very bad impression on them, so that they renounced to have an official contact as it was planned at the beginning. The Earth was looking to a car driven by a drunkard on a loopy road, without brakes. The idea to leave us to our destiny would have been envisaged, during the years 74 to 78. A report would have been sent to UMO, at the end of the 50s, presenting an alarming report and foreseeing an inevitable increasing of the risks, due to the erratic growing of the technology and its destructive effects. Whatever would have been the followings, it seemed to them useful to ameliorate their knowledge of the men of the Earth, by getting in touch with some of them, what they would have done. There would have been then a network of contactees in 20 countries with, in average, according to a UMIT report of the 80s, of 4 to 20 persons. These people would have been chosen among the middle classes. They had to be intelligent enough so that the reading of the reports provoke a minimum reaction in their encephal, but not too much, as they had to be efficiently controlled. Alone, the indiscretion of the Father Guerrero and the publication of the Book of Sesma revealed the size of the manipulation. Some, like Farry Olds, were integrated to the club mainly by showing interest for the case, after the affair of the landing in San Jose de Valdras. In Spain, the sending of letters and reports touched 40 people. The funniest story is the one of this journalist Mahuenda, a very nice guy, by the way. He had a radio broadcast. One day, at the period of Christmas, he had a thought for all these extraterrestrians which were on Earth, far from their planet of origin, and which were certainly homesick. Glad, Aramitz wrote to him. A police officer named Garrido tried to penetrate the network and to reach the source of the information. This was the time of Franco. Garrido thought that they were foreign spies. But the Amits convinced him very easily, and he became one of their most docile collaborators. To all, they asked for confidentiality. This order has been quite strictly followed, except in Spain. The deal was easy, they said: if you chat, we will stop sending letters. To others they would have provided some medical support, curing them from severe diseases, and changing them into obedient disciples. Since 40 years these networks are purring. The contactee is happy. He thinks he is elected. This status flatters his ego. He is before all a good-willing disciple. One asks him to archive, he archives. One asks him to transmit the documents. He does it. One asks him to burn others. He obeys, as that was the case of the Italian net we were going to near in the 70s. But the contact, he is quite unstable. He must be fed again periodically with new information to keep his status, whereas he gets anxious. The Spanish network knew so some spectacular abandons, which allowed to catch new information, considered before as top secret. Being a contact, he is in the same time comfortable and uncomfortable. This is interesting because they become someone exceptional. But in the same time, the information of the reports, even if they are not directly assimilated by the person who received them, make their way and destabilize some beliefs. In the middle of the 80s, the Amets decided to send to the Spaniards some information about their metaphysics. By the way, they revealed some tricks of the existing religion. The sending of letters changed into unneeded telephone calls. Dominguez and Aguirre could no more stand that and left the group of Madrid, after having played the game during 20 years, with a remarkable placidity. Barranchia, Fidel companion of Rafael Farriol's during 20 years, jumped suddenly out of the train, after having been 20 years assiduous, and spread in the nature all what he had in his hands, as if this information was burning his fingers. This is the same attitude that the one of Sesma, 20 years before. The group of Madrid is split asunder. The one of Barcelona, grouped around Rafael, is vegetative. Those awaiting the yearly letter, the little sign of the big brothers of space. And everybody is getting older, because this affair takes place since 30 years. The disinformation. The Terrians, the government, the army and the secret services misinformed, but apparently, the extraterrestrials too, and a lot. The theme of the disinformation is constantly present in the Amo case. Let's cite a sentence from a letter received in 1967 by Antonio Ribera, and which tells the rule of the game. The propagation of certain facts to the official organism could be a cause of prejudice for us. If that would be the case, it would be very easy to simulate the fraudulent nature of the testimonies, which would come to these organisms, what would discredit them efficiently. I think I am personally less sensitive than the Spaniards. As a scientist, I am interested only to the functionality of the texts. When a new document appears, I consider it as a new part of the puzzle and I look for the information which could be in there, without being polarized on the authenticity. When a scientific information is absent, or the information are not verifiable, or seems not to be exploitable at this time, I just archive the texts, or I consider them as anecdotic. I will now tell a quite flavorful story, which is a typical example of the disinformation maneuvers which are present, from time to time in the Amo case. In the 80s, Raphael received a letter from the Amets and Lou called me, Jean-Pierre, Raphael has just received a new letter of the Amets. They decided this time to reveal officially their presence to the Terrians. Ah, and how? They say they will send, within the next 5 days, a radio message in the wave band of the 21 centimeters, which will be repeated during 2 hours. This message will be coded, but we will receive after that a tape which, mixed to this message, will allow us to get a clear signification. All that seems very complicated to me. Such a message may be received only with a radio telescope. Why not having used a normal radio frequency? The Amets say that this message will be emitted from a station which is in a definite part of the sky. With their means, they would have no difficulties to get the observation schedules of the radio telescopes. It would be easy to go in this axis and to emit then. They say that for technical reasons they cannot move this probe and that it can only emit next Sunday, at this time. Extraterrestrians who can't move a radio emitter, this seems quite peculiar, don't you think so? Yes, but given the importance of the new, Farriols would not pass any chance. As we say in Spanish, we want to buy all the tickets of the lottery. And Rafael goes tomorrow to Jodrell Bank to try to convince them to aim their telescope in that direction at this time. These people will take them for a fool. And what about you? Don't you think you may do something in that direction? I did not believe one second to all this story, but to please Raphael and Lou, I succeeded in aiming the huge French radio telescope of Nanke towards the indicated direction. The reader may ask himself how I did that. But a scientist must be imaginative. I called a colleague astronomer named Byrod, which was in charge of the machine, the day before, telling him, I just had a call from one of my American friends, an astronomer, an amateur, who pretends that we just found a supernova in the region of I no more remember the coordinates given by Lou. I don't know if this is exact, but we still could verify. Okay, but if I do that, please send me one of your comics with a dedication. I promise I'll do so, and so was it. At the right day and time, the huge telescope of Nanke was oriented in the indicated direction, and Byrod looked at the sky during 8 minutes, without receiving a signal. No amidst speaking up there he sent me anyway a report of this observation. Byrod never knew my real motivations and I hope that he will not be too angry about me if he reads this book, whenever he would read it. Raphael got in contact with the radio astronomers of Jordal Bank and, of course, they asked for the reason of this request. As he told them the story, they laughed immediately at him. What was the real meaning of this letter? We will never know. But this is not important, its message was not functional. Years later, when the Jodrell Bank machine crashed under its own weight, Raphael received this news with great satisfaction. The short sentence about black holes. End of the 80s. The Amits began to call quite frequently the Spaniards, generally by night. These calls could last hours. They were answering to their questions, answers which were at the level of their scientific knowledge. Barranchia was a fan reader of popular science magazines, where he found the idea that the chickens could achieve some atomic transmutation in their body, to constitute the shell of their egg, when their food was too poor in calcium. This is silly, answered the Amit on the phone. The chicken takes this calcium from its own bones. But Barranchia kept on and, reading again the article, he asked his correspondent if the galley slaves could not operate such transmutation, to compensate to the lacks in their alimentation. This is ridiculous, replied his correspondent. The galley slaves were correctly fed, whether the vessels could not have filled their missions. Domingues, engineer in electricity, the scientist of the Madrid group, asked once about the famous black holes. The answer came immediately, quite laconic, the black holes do not exist. When a neutron star is destabilized, its mass is transferred in the twin universe. Domingues told me once about this conversation, which puzzled me. I never had a look to this problem, and I dived in the bibliography. After some months of inquiry, I met a friend, the mathematician Jean-Marie Celeriau, specialist of the general relativity. Jean-Marie, what do you think about this black hole model? It seems to me that it fits to a solution of the Einstein equation which describes a part of the universe where there is no energy, nor matter. That's what appeared to me as I had a look to the voluminous bibliography on the subject. You are perfectly right. You just put the finger on something that all mathematicians know since a long time. This model is an absolute poppycock, a pure media creation. Imagine a fluid mechanist which would show you a nice solution which describes the flowing of a fluid which density, pressure, in all points of the space, would be null. I would say that this fluid does not exist. This is the same for the black hole. Quite amazing for an object we consider generally as extremely dense. This little conversation between the engineer Domingues and an Amit, during one night of spring 1988, will trigger in me some theoretical works which would constitute the key of the hyperspatial transfer of the Amit vessels. My entering in the AMO network. I have been very amazed, during 15 years, with the efforts I did to understand this case, that these brave people did not get directly in contact with me. Periodically, I had to go to the Spanish source of information. Raphael Farriols received from time to times some letters where the Ummits were speaking of my works. But why have they simply not got directly in contact with me? We understood it quite later. In fact, my works would not have been foreseen in the evaluations of the authors of the documents. An idiot of a Terrian, maybe more clever than the other and quite obstinate, was understanding and exploiting what would not have been conceived in that way. Clued, the authors of the reports followed my efforts, years after years. In 1988, they decided to study my brain and also the one of my friend Jean-Jacques Pastor, during this night at the Hotel Sandvie of Madrid. We would have been passed through a scanner. The Ummits psychologists would have studied our strange encephalic architecture. The Terrians, as they commented that, are quite strange persons and very unpredictable, they had some imagination,